many disturbing things happening, but there's so many wonderful things that God is doing. And right now in the country of Ethiopia, we're just seeing the most phenomenal stuff we've ever seen. And a lot of it I can't share with you in because I know it's online and so on, and who knows where this ends up going and so on. But just to know that there is a massive move of God happening that is bringing hundreds of thousands, and that's growing into millions of new believers coming to Christ right now. And we just finished an outreach. Amen. We just finished a major outreach over the last couple months where we were able, our team in Ethiopia, we were able to send out 6,000 believers who are strong in the Lord now, and relatively new converts from different religious background, and very strong in the Lord, preaching the word, going out into new communities with amazing fruitfulness. And I just want to share a little bit of how that fruitfulness comes to pass. And then also what we need in Devon in order to see the fruitfulness of what God can do in our lives, in our church, but in this town of Devon, in Alberta, in Canada. And that's what my heart's prayer is. So, you know, we just sent out, we were able to help 5,000 go, and 6,000 went. Another 1,000 said, we're going anyway, with support or no support, and went out, and the results are just coming back. That's just over the last couple months. I was in touch with the leaders on the phone just this past week, and amazing numbers. I won't even share the numbers with you because it would knock you off your chair. But millions reached, millions being reached, spreading fast in all parts of the country. And I know the devil is the devil, and he's working hard, and there's all the attacks and all the opposition, but God is at work. And my heart's cry is for Canada. Like, I love Ethiopia. I love what's happening. We're so thankful to be part of that. But my heart keeps breaking for the conditions in the country of Canada. I've shared this before, I think, maybe here, but as Ethiopia is a nation turning to God, like literally stretching her hands to God, like the psalm prophesied Ethiopia would reach her hands to God or stretch her hands to God. That nation is turning to God in all aspects of the country, and it would take me a long time to explain even how. At the same time, Canada is a nation turning away from God in so many ways over these last years. And that has to change, and we are the only ones who can change it. The church, the church filled with the Holy Spirit, is the instrument God can use to change it. And as I sit here this morning, I see beautiful young people leading and involved. And like, there's just such potential. We just need the empowering of the Holy Spirit to flow into this and make it work. Like, not just our ideas. We can come up with ideas and good for that. But we need that sweet, empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I want to focus on this morning. There's two things that I've learned in Ethiopia of the work of the Holy Spirit. Like, I could share thousands of testimonies of miracles and things that, but it kind of comes down to these two things. One is what, and this is what we've learned working with these underground workers into different religious areas of the country that are very hostile and have been, like, I can't even explain how hostile they've been to the gospel, that are now opening. And this, from them, we're learning this. It's Bible, but it's something that has become real to me now. And that is in John chapter, 6 or something, where he said that Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And we've watched, like, I was trying to figure out, how does a whole community, like, of thousands of people from a Muslim background, not Muslim background, Muslim, all of a sudden that whole community comes to Christ? And it's happening. Many. But it's these two things. And this is my prayer for Canada. It's my prayer for Devon. One is the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And before these 5,000 that became 6,000, and they're spread out throughout different parts of the country, before these guys come into the community to share Christ in homes and families, one-on-one and sitting in situations, not like crusade evangelism, sitting with people talking, but before they come to that community, the Holy Spirit has already been convicting and working. And they'll find one of the community leaders will share with them, I had a dream, and in that dream I saw Jesus, and Jesus spoke to me and said, I need to follow him, and that someone was coming, and now you've come to town. Tell us. And instead of finding what they would have found years ago, opposition, being stoned, kicked out of the community, instead they're being invited, come, tell us, explain this to us. Who is this Jesus? And they're able to sit with them, and in very short time, they want to follow Jesus, and they just want to know more about it. And so we're able to help with Bibles and material that they themselves have written that's in their own language that helps them understand the fullness of the gospel of Christ. But it's the Holy Spirit at work before and during, before they get there. Like my prayer, at the second part of it, I better be careful and get on with it. The second thing that I see the Holy Spirit, that the real key issue, convict the world and then send forth laborers. We know that verse whenever we talk about missions for the last 100 years, that's our verse. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, because the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. It's not just the Holy Spirit convicting a community. There has to then be laborers who come with the truth and explain it and pray with them and lead them to faith in Christ and disciple them in their new faith. So you need the work of the Holy Spirit convicting, but we need the work of the Holy Spirit filling the church and raising up laborers and people who will go and walk and talk out on the streets of Devon and into the community. People, if the Holy Spirit is working and convicting, and then he challenges my heart and fills me, and I come to meet with what he's prepared, then people come to faith. It's a spiritual thing. It's a powerful thing. It's not just a verbal thing. You can tell me if I'm right about this or not, but my sense coming back to Canada is that the church in Canada, never mind the lost, the church has lost its confidence in the gospel. Like, the gospel to change somebody's life, to bring them out of darkness into light, to bring them out of bondage into freedom, to bring them out of mental trouble and anxiety and stress and all the issues that are plaguing our nation into freedom in Christ. Like, that's real. I could tell you story after story after story. Let me tell you one example of in one area of Ethiopia, a witch doctor, one of the old guys that's powerful in occult, and he was called upon to help a businessman who wanted help in his business, and they do that a lot, and they do witchcraft activities and curses and all kinds of garbage to help this businessman's business. And in order, it worked, however it worked, and his business was helped. In payment, he gave his young daughter to this old witch doctor as a fourth or fifth wife or something. Old guy, crippled up and miserable old witch doctor, and this beautiful young girl given to him as his wife. But he works his witchcraft on her, so she's afraid to leave and she stays. And over the years, she loses her mind and becomes demon-possessed and mad woman, as they call it, out of her mind, running through the street, screaming and naked and all kinds of ugliest stuff. That old witch doctor died, and his son, the daughter of this young lady who had been given to him as wife, became the next witch doctor in the community. And so he is working the witchcraft, but he has a burden for his mother because she's gone crazy and lost her mind and all this stuff going on. So he's concerned for her, but nothing that he can do witchcraft-wise is helping her. And then these guys come into the village, the ones that we're sponsoring and whatever, and they come with the gospel. And this guy listens and hears. And long story short, he gets saved. And then he says, can you pray for my mother? She needs help. And so as they're praying for his mother, nothing happens immediately, but within a few weeks, he testified. He's going by her room in the night, and he hears her screaming out, Jesus, don't leave me. And he's wondering what's going on because she's been out of her mind for a long time. And then, Jesus, don't leave me. And then, praise God, praise God, praise God. And she's shouting this out in the night. In the morning, he asks her what happened, and she comes out, her face is changed. She's no longer disturbed. She's in her right mind. And she shared that she saw it coming through the roof or the ceiling of her room, a man in white clothing, and he said, I'm Jesus, and I would like to heal you. Do you want to be healed? And she said, yes. And then she was afraid that he would leave, and so she was saying, Jesus, don't leave me. Jesus, don't leave me. And he said, I'll never leave you. And he put his hand on her and healed her, and in the morning she was fully healed. And so this witch doctor guy is a high-level community leader, and now his whole mind is changed, and he's bringing many more to Christ. So there's all kinds of things that the Holy Spirit and the work of God bring into people's lives, changing people's lives. But one of the things we have to have confidence in is the simplicity of the gospel and its power. It will do what God said it will do. The Word of God is the Word of God, and it has that kind of power. And the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and if he fills my life, then I can do the things that God's called me to do by that sweet power and grace. It's not by brains. It's not by strategies of man. It's not by, that we had some big idea that we came up with. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. But it's those two areas. He's convicting, but then the laborers need to come. And so there has to be those ready to go. The laborers have to be empowered by the Spirit. That's us. There is no one else. You. And I know that the church in Canada, again, we've lost confidence in the power of the gospel, but we've also lost confidence in the power of the gospel working through you, through me. That God can use you. It's not some weird thing. You don't have to go out and do some weird thing. It's just being solid in the Lord and filled with the Holy Spirit, and he uses you as he's preparing the heart of somebody out there through conviction. He uses you to bring the truth. It's dangerous online. I have to be careful, but one of the things in Ethiopian context is the conviction is, in the Muslim world, is a fear of death, a fear of judgment, a fear of the grave, and many things. And when that conviction is heavy over the community, and someone comes along with the truth of who Jesus is, and he sets us free from that, and brings the answer to that, then there's a sweeping move. Yes, we want this. But it's not by an argument. It's not by a discussion. It's by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and then the person coming with the truth by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit prepares the way, convicting the world, and the Holy Spirit sends out laborers to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I know you've been talking about this, so you probably have all this in your head already, but it's a real thing. It's a life-changing. Let me say it this way. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, Isaiah chapter 11, 2 talks about the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding. Like, we've been working 30 years now in Ethiopia, faced every kind of challenge that you can imagine and some that you can't imagine. And it's by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit It's by the Spirit giving you understanding. He's the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, of counsel. The Holy Spirit of counsel, a counselor. So something's happening. God is preparing some village, some community through conviction. And he gives us counsel. Send laborers to that community. They go with the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God, and begin to share with them ways that are just Bible truth to answer the questions and the cry of their heart. It's all by the leading and power of the Holy Spirit, but it takes people. And they immediately respond because this is the answer, this is the cry. Spirit of wisdom, understanding. Now I'm going to get into trouble with the PAOC because we're Pentecostals and we believe in our doctrines of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues more than you all, so don't worry, I'm fully on tongues. But that isn't enough. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must be filled with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom in my life. Understanding of things, not just natural understanding, but God-given understanding to see into a situation. Counsel of the Holy Spirit, where he counsels us as a counselor. We have to know his voice to hear his counsel. We have to be in tune with his word to know his counsel. And then the Spirit of power to live the life, to walk the walk, to die to self, to step into the will of God, to lose your life in order to find your life, and the fear of God. That's the Holy Spirit, not just somebody talking in tongues and then living a stupid backwards life, splitting churches and living in adultery, but I speak in tongues. Filled with the Holy Spirit, and that same Holy Spirit will send you out into the harvest field. When Jesus had finished the work on the cross and he appeared to his disciples and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. I'm sending you out. Receive the Holy Spirit. The sending element of it, the empowering of it. So if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will not just have it for myself, but there's a sending element to it. Send forth laborers into the harvest field. And then there's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And again, I challenge you, and I challenge whoever's listening anywhere. Where do we want the gifts of the Holy Spirit functioning? Here, where it's safe in the church and it's dark and there's no windows and nobody sees anything and we can, you know, thus saith the Lord, praise God, hallelujah. Okay, that's fine. We want his gifts working among us here in the church and building us up in our faith and growing and maturing in Christ. But where the church needs the gifts of the Spirit is when you're out on the street and you meet some guy who is anti-Christian and cussing and cursing you, and the Lord gives you a word of wisdom, spiritual wisdom to handle that situation. Or a word of knowledge, not that my toe needs healing. That's one aspect in a very simple baby way. But a word of knowledge for that person's life that changes their thinking and opens their mind to the gospel of Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit in our life, in our community, where we are. I always like to tell this one. It's one of the great stories of the past in Ethiopia of one of the church planters out facing going into a new community. I might have even told it here because it's one of my favorite ones, but it illustrates what I'm talking about. And the witch doctor of that community had told the community, this guy will never come and plant a church in this town. And he comes into that little dusty village walking down the path into the town. And the witch doctor has a bull, an ox, that he uses in his witchcraft, and he's a demon-possessed bull. I grew up on the farm. Bulls are bad when they're not demon-possessed. And so he's coming into town. The witch doctor sends this demon-possessed bull roaring down the street towards him. and it's roaring like a lion, charging down the street. Now that's when I want a gift of the Spirit. That's when I need God's presence, the Holy Spirit. And Dawit is his name, and he just said, in Jesus' name. And the thing stopped, fell down, and he came into town. And everybody in the town was like, who is this guy? We don't want to hear this witch doctor. We want to hear this guy. And the door opens to plant the church. So what I'm saying is the gifts of the Spirit in a Spirit-filled church, Spirit-filled person work in our life, in our ministry, and where we're touching the world and where we confront darkness, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit. And we know that one. At least we know about it. We don't necessarily do it, but we know it. I always tell students in the Bible college about crossing culture. You know, how do you cross culture? What do we need to know? How do you shake hands? How do you do whatever? And I'm like, all that stuff is minimal. Shaking hands, how you greet, whatever. You learn it, good, do that. But what really will help you is the fruit of the Spirit. If you're a nice person, they'll forgive a lot of other little cultural blunders you might do. If you're nice, like, can't we at least be nice? You go to a church and find out it's splitting. You find out there's a fight in the board. This guy hates that guy hates this guy. We can't even be nice. And we talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So those things, the character of the Holy Spirit, wisdom and understanding and knowledge and power and grace, flowing through us, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, supernatural as needed. One lady last year when we've been sending these numbers out many times a year. Last year, one of the teams going into one area and a lady was leading it and they were sharing with the community ladies about Jesus. And one of the ladies in the group that was listening started crying and said her husband was divorcing her because of pressure from his family. And because she had no child, and she'd been married 10 years without a child, and she was going to be divorced, and she was upset. The lady who was sharing Christ said to her, I had a vision just now. This is what I love about the Holy Spirit. She said, I had a vision of your womb being healed. And then she had a prophetic word. You're going to bear a son, and he's going to be a strong leader. That was last year. This year, as she went back into that community, the ladies were gathered. Some had listened, some had responded, some were rejecting. The lady she prophesied to came with her baby boy, and her marriage healed and rejoicing in the Lord. And those who had not wanted to hear were now, okay, tell us more about this. Because of the gifts of the Holy Spirit functioning in life, in ministry, in touching the dark world that we live in. You know, we think, maybe you're starting to think differently, but we have thought in Canada that we're this wonderful, free nation. We're not very free anymore, by the way. But that, you know, we have so much in the poor old dark world over there. There's no place darker right now than the Western world. Spiritually dark, like hard and against. In Ethiopia, I can go into any community in Ethiopia and find a reception much, much, much more welcoming for the gospel than a community in Canada, by a long shot. So if you're going to reach this country, if we're going to make a difference in Canada, it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit confronting that darkness with not just your nice, you know, helping in the community, whatever. Those are all beautiful doorways into the community. But it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit breaking darkness. And it's going to take us believing in the gospel that it will change people's lives. First, it has to change us. So this is another thing I learned in walking with the church in Ethiopia and in these areas where it's growing fast. The Holy Spirit conviction, the Holy Spirit sends out laborers, but then there's the need for
believing and seeing the transformation of lives. Like the person comes to faith, now teaching and discipling and see them grow up and then see those people impacting their community. I would ask you this too. Like I said it like this recently just as an illustration. If I said in Canada to a typical Canadian group, not you, you're very spiritual, but the other ones, that 1,000 Muslims got saved this week. First of all, they probably don't believe you. But then there'd be this kind of skeptical, yeah, but did you drill any water wells? Like, there's more excitement over drilling a water well for a community than bringing Christ to a community in the Church of Canada, because we've lost confidence in the gospel, what it can actually do. There is nothing even close to the value of bringing Christ into a community and that community embrace Christ and the change that brings. You can drill a water well and they don't get saved and the water well will dry up and the community will fight over it and somebody will kill somebody for the other to have the power over the water well. And water's good, I get it, we need to drink water. But my question is this, and I ask it to you. Which water is more valuable? When Jesus met the woman at the well, and he said, you know, give me a drink or whatever. And she said, well, you have nothing to draw with, and you know the story. And then he said, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd be asking me for water. And she's like, what do you mean? And the water I would give you will well up in you like a spring, like of living water, of life, eternal life. Which water is more valuable, the water well drill or bringing Christ into that community? And then they'll drill their own water well, and God will bless, and they'll start many things. Schools and things start to happen because of the power and presence and grace of God. So bringing Christ into a community, and we need to restore that confidence in Canada, in our church. If we're going to bring Christ into this community and see the power of the gospel change this community and this nation, then we have to have that confidence in the gospel. I in Bible school here, I get all these different things, and you read things about statistics in Canada and North America, and somebody sent me this thing, Barna Notes or whatever, research of pastors in North America, Canada, U.S. And the numbers were shocking. Not people, pastors. So then where are the people? I don't know. But it was like 60-something percent of pastors, and I know it's not just PUC, it's across the board, don't believe a biblical worldview or don't hold a biblical worldview. They don't believe creation, as evolution has overwhelmed them. They maybe don't believe that Jesus is the only answer. They maybe don't believe he was really born of a virgin miraculously. Nice guy, good teaching. All those basics are not held. And the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the gospel. Like, I don't want to belabor it, but I got saved at the age of 21 in Alberta. I grew up in Black Falls, south of here. Out of no interest in the gospel, never heard about the gospel message as a clear presentation. Drinking, fighting, all the good stuff that you do when you're really stupid. And came to Christ. My younger sister got saved. She shared with me shortly thereafter I accepted Christ. Everything changed. Like everything. The power of the gospel to change. And not only for me, but then I met Val. She was in the service I got saved in, actually, when I went to the front, that is. And she watched me go to the front, a long hair and scrappy looking dude. And I stood at the front, she tells me now, like this. But actually, inside, everything was changing. And she said later, when she got to know me,
Actually, I thought that morning when I watched you go to the front, you'll never make it. But you prayed, and he made it. Anyway, the power of the gospel to change. Like that, that's what we need to see. People coming out of darkness into light, out of brokenness into wholeness. But we need ourselves to be there. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit ourselves. And I can't be filled with the Holy Spirit if I'm filled with pride. I can't be filled with the Holy Spirit if I'm filled with selfish ambition or jealousy or whatever. So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not I spoke in tongues at camp 12 years ago. Today. And walking in that way, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he, when he comes, will convict the world of sin. And he'll send out laborers into the harvest. And he changes us and prepares us and builds us to go into the harvest. This is another thing I learned in Ethiopia about the Holy Spirit. He convicts the world. The sinner, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the sinner or lost person is conviction of sin. Not we've got to go and tell them to stop stealing, or, I mean, they're doing all the junk they're doing, but the conviction is of sin, of rejecting Christ. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. To open their heart to whatever. Then once they come to Christ and are born again, as on the day of Pentecost, they said, what should we do? And he said, repent, be baptized, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit, new birth. Now the work of the Holy Spirit changes. In your life and my life, it changes, and it becomes convicting us of obedience to Christ, convicting us of pride or wrong direction, convincing us and encouraging us and teaching us the Word of God and showing us who Jesus is and revealing Christ. And the work in our lives is to bring us in that process of becoming like Christ. And that means we've got to change a lot of stuff. The Holy Spirit working in us to grow up into the full stature of Christ. That part of the work of the Holy Spirit, we need to see more in us. If we are going to be the laborers that he can send out into the harvest field. Because if we don't have that, then we're not effective. We're not, and so much of the church is sitting around, wouldn't know what to do if a sinner came begging you to help him get saved. We need to be growing up in Christ. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, growing us up into the image of Christ. And if that's not there, then we're in trouble. And we won't be ready. And there's no point the Holy Spirit bringing conviction over the city if we're not ready to be the laborers sent into the harvest. And we're not. So we need to get ready. We need to grow up. We need to receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon us so that we can become his witnesses, not just sitting around, but be his witnesses. And there's so much more we could say about that. So I'll say it again just as we finish. We need our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ restored in the church in Canada. The power of the gospel, not just in our talk, not just in our doctrine, not just in another statement written by a head office of what we believe, but in our heart, in our life, by the power of the Holy Spirit. To me, that's been like everything that we've been involved in Ethiopia over these years, and the fruitfulness that we've seen and are seeing right now. There's one reason God can keep us involved and keep seeing it growing and doing, and the grace and power and wonderfulness of God. And that is because he's challenged us to keep growing in Christ, into the image of Christ, convicting me
when pride is the motive behind it. And that will bring destruction and the end of God working. Or jealousy. And you see it in leadership, you see it in the church, you see it all over the place. Jealousy between leaders. Who's in charge? Who's the bigger? Who's the more important? Who's selfish ambition? Those motivations are of the flesh, which you know. Read Galatians 5. If they are motivating us, God cannot use us. You can be a believer and you might get into the back door of heaven, but you will not be used effectively. God has had to continually challenge our lives and the work, the team we work with constantly to be growing up into the image of Christ. And then, I'm not saying we're there, we're growing into it and it's still happening, and this morning he can challenge my life about something and I need to answer immediately. But as you grow in Christ, it gets easier to recognize the voice of Jesus. And he said, my sheep know my voice and they won't listen to a stranger. Trouble is, the sheep are listening to every stranger because we don't know his voice. So to be filled with the Holy Spirit is what the church is dying for. Not just in doctrine and in here doing something, but our lives full. So God can speak to us and has thousands of times. There's an opportunity, there's a situation, step into it, and we can just step in and then see what God does. And he does. So many examples. Recently, we had the opportunity to develop a Bible for this new area of the country that's literally millions are coming to Christ right now. And they need a Bible in the language that they know and are comfortable with. Immediately that door opens, the need is there. God stirs the heart of somebody in Canada, in this case, who says, we'll print those Bibles. Someone else, anyway, all of it comes together, and now we're ready to bring in those Bibles into those communities. And the Bible, the Word of God, again, let me say this in closing. I think I'm closing. The Bible itself, the Word of God, is another, that is the foundation. And we've lost confidence in the Bible. The church in Canada, generally, has lost confidence in the gospel, lost confidence in the Word of God. When the Bible goes into a community of people who have just received Christ, just starting to follow, they devour it day and night. I remember one leader from another community that came to faith and was able to have the Bible in his own language, spent a week, morning and night, in a little hut with a candle, reading and reading and reading and reading, and like wouldn't turn his eyes from it hardly to sleep. And now a strong leader sharing Christ with communities. The Word of God. And so we're able, because of the power, again, the Holy Spirit's work. He touches this guy in Canada. And we're talking about millions of dollars to print the number of Bibles we need to send into that community right now. The Spirit of God touches him. The Spirit of God convicts that community. The Spirit of God raises up laborers to go. The Spirit of God challenges my life to do this and bring that and bring it together. And it happens. But we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The church in Canada, the Pentecostal church in Canada, needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me say it, and if you're listening, POC leaders, we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. We are not. Or this would all be happening. So we need to be, and we can be. And it's not crazy stuff. It's solid stuff. Like, let me emphasize that again. Not silly, foolish stuff like you hear about some revival and everybody's doing stupid and crazy stuff. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about solid, godly people who have the wisdom and understanding and presence of the living God in your life. Challenging your own life to grow up in Christ, and then empowering you to touch those people that he's convicting around you
that are ready and need to hear. That is my message for today, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit in the country of Ethiopia, and I pray for it in Canada. Conviction over communities and sending forth Spirit-empowered laborers. Not just pastors and missionaries, you. Amen. I'll say one more thing. Something that's been on my heart lately is Jesus said, and he says it to all of us, if you will lose your life, then you'll find it. If you just find your life, you lose it. If you want the life Christ has for you, lose the life you have for yourself. And I was sharing this a couple of days ago with some people. For me, to lose my life when I came to Christ, what I lost was drunkenness. Probably would have developed into alcoholism because I just look at my friends of those days and their lives and what happened to them. Very likely family problems, good chance of divorce. Most likely, or not most likely, but a good chance of prison. Because a lot of those guys that I hung with ended up in prison. And a good chance of an early death. A lot of them, that happened. That's what I lost. What a price to pay to find everything we've found in Christ that would take me the rest of my life to explain the blessing of it, the joy of it, the fulfillment of it, our children blessed, our marriage blessed, a wife that loves me and I still love her and growing in Christ and our kids love each other and love God and what I found. So all that stuff that I lost, what you're losing is garbage to find. But it costs you. I mean, you have to decide for it. As a believer, not just an unsaved getting saved, but as a saved person embracing the will of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. I know it costs you everything. That's what I love about it. Jesus doesn't beat around the bush. It costs you everything. But then you get everything. It costs you everything you have in mind to get everything he has in mind. There's no comparison. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for this church in Devon. Thank you for the leadership, for Pastor Gill and his family, but for the young people that I've saw around here this morning, such potential, and for the people sitting here and those online that are listening. Father, your church, if we will be filled with the Holy Spirit, if we will lose our life to find your purpose, and be filled with the wisdom and understanding and knowledge and counsel and power and all the wonder of the Holy Spirit and the gifts and the fruit filling our lives, preparing us to be the laborers you send into this town and this province, this country. And I pray, Father, for those two things for Canada, that you will convict the lost of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and that you will prepare and send out laborers into the harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you. Thank you.